So let us, for a few moments, turn in the Word of God to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read the opening 25 verses of Acts chapter 9. And of course, in Acts chapter 9, we read the amazing conversion of Saul, who becomes Paul. The hunter becomes the hunted one. Hallelujah. What is God saying to us even through this passage this morning? What is he saying to the children? What is he saying to the adults? What is he saying to us this morning from his word? Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue to Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And I've been so much praying that even today, as we come into the presence of the Lord, a light from heaven, the light of Jesus will shine in our hearts. And if the light of Jesus were to shine in your heart, on your life this morning, on mine, I'm sure there'd be a lot of impurity there, which would be exposed. Are we willing this morning to have that impurity, the filth, the rubbish, the dross, exposed and dealt with, got rid of? Are we? Those habits, those thoughts, that anger, that lack of self-control, the lack of compassion for the lost. Lord, these are the things which your light is going to expose in my life and in your life. And it's for the glory of God, and that we will indeed be those faithful followers of Jesus. We've just read that the followers of Jesus in those early days were known as the Way. They were known as the Way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. Jesus is the way. And if we're followers of Jesus, followers of the way, we will want the filth got out and the exposure also to the glory and the power of the Almighty One. Hallelujah. If Jesus shines upon us, indeed, you know, we read, of course, in the Old Testament when Moses had that encounter with the Lord and the Ten Commandments and so on. And then when he came back with the new tablets, his face shone. And if we have an encounter with the Lord Jesus, our faces will shine. Hallelujah. We want the glory of the Lord. We want Jesus to shine on us. Hallelujah. Even this morning. Verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? He knew the voice of the Lord. Who are you, Lord? And then, who are you? And then perhaps that is a question. Lord, is it you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It is hard for you to kick against the stick. Goads is another name for the stick that they use to get the ox moving. It was a stick to move the ox, the cattle. And if the ox kicked his leg to try and prevent the stick coming on him, it was a futile exercise. It was pointless, because he still had to move. The stick would hit him, so that he knew he had to move. So we can't kick against God's purposes. God doesn't want us to kick against what the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life today. Are you going to resist him? Am I going to resist him? Please, no, Lord. We must not kick against the goads. It's a futile exercise. God wants to have his perfect way in your life. As the children start school this week, he wants to have his way in your life. That you will shine as stars in your school, in your classes, in your community. Full of the power of God. Verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. And that's significant, those 3 days. Just as Jonah was 3 days in the big fish's belly, and the Lord Jesus was 3 days in the tomb, victory was the other side in all three cases, including this one here. It's significant, friends. Hallelujah. And now verse 10, now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So in verse 10, Ananias says to the Lord, here I am. I'm available, Lord. I may not understand right now what you're asking me to do. In fact, I will probably won't want to do it, especially if it's to deal with that man who's been persecuting us for many a long year. Look, if Jesus is going to, is he? I believe he is. If he's shining his light upon you and me, are we going to say, here I am? I'm wholly available. I think that's what God is saying to us. We're living in turbulent times, really bad times, but opportunities for his disciples, those who are truly followers of the way, to say, here I am, Lord, use me. Even though I may not know what you're saying to me at this moment, I'm going to have the faith to trust you. One of the men of God who's now in glory, and at one time I despised, but I've come to love him and appreciate him, is the evangelist called Steve Hill. And one of the things he wrote not long before he passed away was, friend, leave a powerful, righteous, devil-defeating legacy. May words like radical, intense, and beyond the norm characterize your life. Be one of those who dare to obey Christ completely. He said, heaven is hanging posters all over the world that read, wanted, extreme Christians. Yes, these are the days for extreme Christianity. I pray that the light and the fire of the Lord will so consume us even today that we will want nothing else but God's way. God's way. God's way in our individual lives, in our families. This fellowship. And for it to be known in the community. These people are alive for Jesus. Because he has shone his light upon us, that we're fed up. I preached some weeks, months ago on being sick of the superficial and being full of the supernatural. These are desperate days, friends. And I do urge you, as was on the notices just now, to be praying much for the Answers in Prophecy meetings on Saturday, September the 13th. Philip will be bringing a word. Pray much for him that he hears from the Lord the things which are going on in the Middle East. How relevant are they? As God has much to say in his word, we need to be alive. We need to be full of the truth. So I urge you to be here for those meetings. And I am quite sure, I'm absolutely convinced that the globalists, who who have an agenda are seeking not just the downfall of Christianity, but as America and other places collapse, so that the war will come to take people's minds off things and they have an agenda. But I would remind you that the word of the Lord says in Ephesians 6, be strong. Be strong. Many hearts will be failing them through fear. People who are not grounded in the truth. People who are not full of the Spirit of the Lord. People who are not in love with the Lord Jesus Christ will flounder and will be calling for the rocks to hide them. But those who know their Lord will do exploits in these days. These are days of opportunity, friends. And I don't want just the norm Christianity for me or this fellowship. But I want to be an extreme Christian, believing and obeying the Lord God. You see in verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. For those who suffer for the Lord's sake, and who share in his sufferings, will sure also enjoy the resurrection. They will enjoy the victory, the triumph of resurrection. Hallelujah. This same man, Saul, who had been persecuting the true church, he had been persecuting the followers of Jesus. Now he was going to have his eyes open. The scales were going to be removed, and he was going to become one of the greatest apostles of all. He became Paul. Paul the Apostle. And at one stage he said, look, he said, those things that I considered important, they're nothing. That which had consumed me, the desires of the flesh, they're nothing now. I consider there's only one thing important, that's knowing Jesus. All things else are but dross, dung, rubbish. I want to know Christ. Is that your heart? If the light of Jesus is shining on you this morning, you'll say, it's Jesus only. I must have Jesus. I must fulfill my destiny here on earth. Whether that's 3 months, 3 years, or 30 years, I must fulfill the destiny. Something else that Steve Hill said in another sermon, he said, if you're going to be used by God, you've got to get hungry for him. And in the same sermon, he said, the peak in your life, the summit in your life is in front of you, not behind you. Hallelujah. So if we're going to be those faithful followers, if we're going to die to self and be full of Jesus Christ, also we need to choose our friends carefully. We need to choose our friends carefully. Could there be those who just want to bring you down, 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 down. But there'll be others who want to lift you up, and I want to be around those who are faithful. Hallelujah. God help us. God help us. God help us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody tell me where we are? Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, the enemies of God. Look, friend, no one is beyond the love of God. You may have written somebody off. Repent of that now and pray for them. No one is beyond the love of God. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once and arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ. He preached Christ, the one whom he'd been persecuting. He preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. that all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. Oh, yes, friend, if you're serious about the Lord, you're going to get opposition. It may well come from within your family. You'll get opposition. If everything, you know, I sometimes worry about loved ones whose partner, whose husband, wife or whatever is not a believer. They're obstinately refusing to come to Christ, but they say, it's all right, dear, you go along to church. I don't mind you going to church. They should be opposing you going to church. They should be opposing you. Because you have the life of Christ. They're still children of the devil. Are we too nice? Don't we have the fire of God within us? Please, Lord, let us have the fire. Let us have you, O God, within us, so that they will see the works of Christ and humble themselves before you and say, I've got to have what you've got. There will be opposition. There'll be opposition from the authorities. There'll be opposition from nominal Christians. Expect that. But hey, he who is for you, he who is in you, is greater than he is that is in the world. Whom have I to fear? Even if the armies of hell come against me, I've got one who's stronger than the host. Hallelujah. That is our victory cry. Verse 22, but Saul increased all the more in strength and confound. This is what would happen. We say, Jesus, it's Jesus only. It's Jesus only. It's Jesus in my workplace. It's Jesus in my school. It's Jesus in my family. It's Jesus in my community. It's Jesus in the nation. I'm a follower. I'm a disciple of you. It's Jesus only. He will strengthen us for the day of battle. And he will remind us that the battle is not ours, it belongs to him. He will bring us through as overcomers, as super conquerors, whatever the enemy plots against us. But their plot became known to Saul. Now, after many days were passed, verse 23, the Jews plotted to kill him. You see, friends, for Saul, his former friends became his enemies. But he found new friends, the ones he had been persecuting. When you're sold out to Christ, when you have his spirit fill you, some who you were friends with, I mean real friends, were influencing you, they will become your enemies. But you've got a new set of friends, and they will strengthen you. Hallelujah. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And the Lord was with him. Amen.